Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Thursdays, Lori and Julia here on MyTalk 107.1. We're streaming at MyTalk107.1.com, also on the MyTalk app. And if you are streaming at MyTalk107.1.com, go check out the MyTalk resource page. It's presented by AARP. MyTalk, keeping you informed and entertained with a list of fun stuff, a list of serious stuff. You'll all be able to find it at MyTalk107.1.com. Keyword resource. And now for more informing and more entertaining, here we go.
Okay, so our new life, you know, without Donnie,
yeah.
With Holly, who's working like 9 other jobs too, is like, so Lori, we're just trying to multitask over here. And while we're talking, Lori's trying to take an online class about cybersecurity.
Well, you're doing that now?
I'm trying
to get it done.
To tweet out.
It's like an 8-minute thing. So I'm just saying, answering everything as a phishing scam. And at the end of it.
But she's watching a video with no volume.
Yeah.
And just looking at the pictures.
But if they knew my email reputation, I just pretty much delete everything.
That's going to have to change.
Well, I know that. And I don't like that. So I thought I should learn some things. But anything official, I erase.
It's a brave new world, Lori.
Yeah.
Oh, and I'm trying to.
And I failed at 74%. I got that thing done
during the break,
and it was supposed to take longer, and then it said fail, you're gonna have to do again, you must pass with 80%. I'm like, screw you.
Wait till you get the next one, because there's like this will take 15 minutes.
Okay, just who's ever in charge of Hubbard Security? I'm not opening anything, okay?
You're going to have to get a hold of Lori via semaphore flags on top of the
roof. Yes, and this is all about security during your virtual offices. It was very interesting.
Right, I mean, you know, but I don't have email on my phone.
Well, that might have to change too.
No.
Again, a brave new world.
Yeah.
Here we go, Lori. Come on.
Julia.
No, I'm trying to tweet out the special discount to watch the Bridge movie, to do this.
Oh, and honestly. Nobody cares.
Right. Okay. Well, moving on.
Moving on. Okay. Now, here is something.
Yes. It's just kind of funny because I love that you were doing that with no audio.
Julia, it's the best way to learn sometimes.
Just taking an online class with no audio. That just cracked me up.
I'm a fast reader.
Oh, is that it?
But if there's no audio, you can't hear it.
The words were on the screen.
Oh,
I felt that they were. I mean, I didn't have the audio on. It could have been explaining things. But I feel like between my eyes and reading, I could get the gist of it. I was a very good student in school. I hardly ever had to study. It was pathetic.
Same.
I know, but it's the olden days.
I know it. We didn't have
it.
It was. I couldn't go to school these days, boy.
Oh my God. Okay, gosh. But here's something that stinks to high flipping heaven in Hollywood. And I could just get kind of worked up about it.
And this isn't a beer.
Okay. No, yeah. I know.
Thank you for clarifying.
But it does sound good right now.
Okay. So.
Yes.
Nicholas Holt, who's right now starring in Catherine with Elle Fanning on Hulu, getting rave reviews about Catherine the Great.
Yep.
He's playing her dumb husband and quite great.
Which I just love.
And Nicholas Holt, is he the About a Boy Boy, the actor? I think he is.
I think you are right.
Wasn't he the one with Jennifer Lawrence forever?
Yes, he dated her, but I mean, he was a child actor in a fame, and I feel like he was in About a Boy with Hugh Grant. He was the actor, wasn't he, Nicholas Holt?
Yeah.
So you'd have to spell Nicholas, right?
H-O-U-L-T. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, he's 30.
I meant the first word.
Yeah,
but go ahead.
He's 30, and he's successfully transitioned from child actor into being, you know, a grown-up adult
into
movies. So anyway, and we had heard this when this happened, but Nicholas Holt was signed to the next two installments of Mission Impossible.
He was?
Yes. This was in the olden days when Donnie would give us casting news.
And when we would say, because why do we care about 2024 right now?
But
we would know.
But we would know, and also because, like, when somebody gets signed, it's like getting, you know, getting signed to be 2 years in a Mission Impossible. Even though if you were to really critically look at it and you think about all the actors Tom Cruise has burned through in Mission Impossible. Yes.
Oh, I love it that you got that angle in.
Well, he's Jeremy Renner and Henry Cavill, you know, they were in and then they were out. Okay. And so Deadline reported this news, but they didn't question it or think it was weird or anything because Nicholas Hoult was scheduled for the next two Mission Impossible movies. And all of a sudden today, or really last night, the official word is that Nicholas Hoult couldn't do Mission Impossible because of quote unquote scheduling changes. Indeed, Mission Impossible 7 is late starting to shoot because of the pandemic, but every movie is. And Nicholas Hoult, on his IMDb page, has nothing scheduled.
Oh.
Okay? And this would have given him a huge, huge boost to be in these two movies.
Right.
And they announced that S.A. Morales is going to be replacing Nicholas Hoult, which he rose to fame in La Bamba.
Okay.
And he's replacing him. There hasn't even been a script change. Let me tell you what the difference is. S.A. Morales will be 58 in October. Tom Cruise will be 60.
You think he wants an older man playing with him, the villain?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do, Julia. And I think he and Nicholas Hoult wasn't receptive in any way, shape, or form, any of the Scientology cheese curds that Tom had been leaving him. Tom Cruise would be like 58 also on July 3rd.
Wow.
And it's reverse ageism. Maybe a first.
Wow.
Nicholas Hoult was making Tom Cruise nervous. That's just because if you cruise, you lose. I mean, the younger Jeremy Renner, out. Henry Cavill, out. They were both good. Both of those actors got such good notices in their Mission Impossible movies that fans wondered if they could succeed Tom Cruise in the franchise. But Tom Cruise, who will be 61 when the eighth installment comes out, I mean, he'll be Ethan Hunt in the nursing home. Don't you worry.
Ethan Hunt nursing home.
He's going to be in the kitchen on the strings trying to get the pudding.
Wow.
I just think it's Tom Cruise rock blocking him. And Nicholas Hoult will be fine, but this would have given his career a huge boost. And Tom Cruise did not like what he was seeing on the films. You know, the too big of an age difference for the villain. Didn't test good.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right, Tommy.
Anyway.
Well, and maybe
we'll be seeing a lot of Nicholas. He's only 30 in the next 15 years.
He's got a new baby, like a 1-year-old, I think.
Yeah, you know, but I just think, oh, petty Tom.
Okay, I have kind of an irony today. This is kind of ironic that this headline just came out. UC, University of California, Regents vote to suspend ACT and SAT testing requirements for admission, making the, you know, turning point in the debate over standardized test scores. And isn't that the school that the girls were trying to get in? Lori Loughlin's kids?
No.
Oh, they were trying to get in USC.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, because I thought, wouldn't that have been something? Yeah.
Listen, out of all of this, I hope for the kids, less homework and all this standardized testing crap gets put in another thing and that prices drop for college.
Oh,
they're
gosh,
ridiculous.
Yes.
It's ridiculous. It's just,
it is, and I wish this would have happened 10 years ago.
Yes,
so it would have dropped before my kids went through.
Right, right. Geez,
it is ridiculous, but wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we should learn out of this, is that there's just like just entirely too much homework.
All right, so the drama back to Tom Cruise.
I'm just saying, he's reverse ageism, rock blocking Nicholas Hoult. That's why I think, I mean, he was already signed to a deal. There were no scheduling conflicts for Nicholas Hoult.
Really,
he doesn't have anything on the docket.
It's pretty cold.
He blocked his time for making these two movies back to back. I'm telling you, Xenu strikes again.
Okay, I want to ask you guys something.
And by the way, Tom Hardy, who we love very much, he's very dreamy.
Yes. Except for in the Whitey Bulger.
Right. Yeah, but his Capone movie, you guys, broke. It made $2.5 million, which they say is a lot for video on demand in like 10 days.
That's good.
Even though Capone got, stinker. It's like 41% on Rotten Tomatoes, but people were watching.
And those
it.
Are the ones where you pay the $19 for. Yeah. Not the $5.99 like that. We're,
right, right.
Oh, that's good.
So.
All right, that's good.
He plays Al Capone, and many critics praised his performance. Some called it career best. Some called it, he's vying for the prize of most acting actor. So I guess it's one of those movies you got to see and you got to be passionate about Capone. He's real ugly in this, Julia.
He's so ugly, I didn't want to watch it.
I know.
I still like him from Taboo, the show that we loved.
Whatever happened to that crazy
never came
show?
Back.
That was a crazy show.
I loved that show. Something about it, and he was so sexy in that show. It was a Netflix thing.
And every time I see something that's filmed in like the 17th, 18th, 19th
you
century.
Fall for it.
No, and I love it, but I'm always so grateful that I'm not traveling back in
Lord,
the parallel universe to be living in those times. I would have hated it.
My parallel universe I'd travel back to would be the 70s and the 80s.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Holly?
Yeah. Cute clothes. Still have decent dental care.
Yeah.
And carefree.
Yeah. And carefree.
And
your parents didn't know how to get a hold of you. Just had a time to be home.
Right.
And a place that you said. I mean, sometimes you'd have to rearrange things with a phone call. You know, to check in or get somebody to, you know, say that, yes,
you
indeed,
were there.
You were staying there. You know, but how is that any different?
It isn't, but it was just such a carefree time.
And also I know we're going to go, but just two things that we have to look forward to in the Hollywood. Holly posted both of them. Vanity Fair had the exclusive on Stephen King's The Stand Comes to Life. Whoopi Goldberg plays the 108-year-old. This is a remake. I love that book.
I know.
Anyway,
did.
That trailer's posted. And then Steve Carell's new comedy, which actually looks really funny.
It looks kind of fun.
The Space Force is posted. And that comes out next week, I think, on Netflix. So,
very cool.
We'll be right back with the Dirt Alert.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
Dirt Alert, Dirt Alert, Dirt Alert, Dirt Alert, Dirt Alert, Dirt Alert.
All right, Holly.
Hi. Let's catch up with Mary-Kate Olsen and Olivier Sargent.
Oh, yeah. New news? Okay.
Well, they're trying to make new news. They're trying to squeeze this gossip lemon and make lemonade out of it. So the latest headlines, these are coming from the Daily Mail, saying that Mary-Kate Olsen's ex, Olivier Sarkozy, would have preferred a stayed-at-home wife, but that he still didn't want kids with her.
I have to again ask, were these two together in the first place?
Because
they
years.
Dated for 3 years and married for 5 years. Did they not discuss?
Well, it was across continental, so you don't see each other much. So it's so much
who
fun.
Who doesn't talk about babies and wifey expectations and hubby expectations and work schedules and general vacation? I mean, how do you never talk about any of this?
Well, right. And the fact that, Mary-Kate Olsen and her sister Ashley Olsen have been very entrepreneurial their entire lives since they were in diapers.
Yeah.
That's just part of who they are.
I feel like Mary-Kate and her people are going to be working out the old, he was always spending her money while she worked herself to the bone. That might be the spin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, a line.
Well, here is, Lori, to your point. So this, actually, I want to correct the record. It's from People, but the source, talkingtopeople.com today, is saying, Mary-Kate is extremely hardworking and focused on her business. Her work schedule is beyond disciplined. The source adds, she, Mary-Kate, is the type of person who would never complain about a 12-hour workday. Olivier never understood her drive and passion. He would have loved to have a stay-at-home wife.
You remember he's from Belgium royalty.
Yeah.
He grew up
in France.
Yeah. He grew up being a child with no wants or needs.
Yeah.
And not asked to do much. But he was a successful financier.
Right. But I mean, it's again, I just say, how were these two ever together in the first place?
Just,
honestly.
Damn.
I think she's asking herself.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday, so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
That, and he is probably too.
Well, and now she can move on with her life. There are many
and
people.
She will find somebody so much more suited for her. Yeah. I never liked these two together. They were just, they didn't make any sense.
Yeah. So move on.
Really? Yep.
You'll find love over another bowl of cigarettes, Mary Kate. We swear someone will love you for your wizard capes. We wish you the best. Over on people.com again. Now, I know that we're not particularly, I guess, interested. Are we? Okay, let's take a survey of the room. And I probably know the answer.
All right.
Getting all these little details about Prince Harry and Meghan Markle's personal life at this moment in time.
Hate.
You hate it? Hate.
I don't. I like it. I welcome it. I want to know.
Okay, well, this is an exclusive.
I'm Prince Harry.
I'm Prince Harry. Yes, I know. I have him around here.
Hi, I'm Prince Harry.
Hi. Well, actually, when I think about it, I mean,
I do like knowing about what's going on. I like to get mad at the tabloids for being such dinks.
And I like to get mad at them. So let's go.
Okay, now we've come full circle on our opinions about these kinds of stories. So this is an exclusive coming from people.com saying how Prince Harry and Meghan Markle celebrated their recent second wedding anniversary. What did they gift themselves? Well, a source adds at people.com that they love to do their own take on traditional wedding gifts. The first anniversary was paper, and Meghan wrote out the wedding speech and had it framed for Prince Harry.
Oh, that is just so cute. It makes me sick.
Wait, say what it was again.
Oh, my God. First wedding anniversary present is traditionally paper.
Okay.
So Meghan Markle wrote out the wedding speech and had it framed for Prince Harry.
I think that's very
sweet. That's very sweet.
So that's nice. Okay. That's why, like, paper the first anniversary, you know, you made it.
Yeah.
Well, right.
And then you can have some kind of memory of your wedding. Well, it still seems like all of that was so important.
Yeah.
As you're just discovering whether or not you can stand each other.
First year was a roughie.
It is.
Yeah.
And I think it's a real, like, you kind of go, oh, wow, that's disappointing. I thought it was supposed to be the end, the start. It is, yeah. I'm telling you.
In every marriage.
And yes, it's just you're figuring it all out. There's
yeah, you
just
really
a lot.
Are. And well, you're like, whoo, we made it.
Yeah, you're off that romantic
What's
cliff.
What's the second anniversary?
Well, the second anniversary, thank you for asking, it's cotton. Oh. And the source adds, undoubtedly, it was a very creative and romantic gesture, as all their gifts are to one another.
Oh, for goodness.
So we learned nothing.
No, we didn't.
But their names are out there again?
Yes. Yes.
Like, that's all we learned.
Really, that's all we learned. We didn't even learn what the darn cotton gift is. Did she make him a cotton ball man, or she dress up like a cotton ball man, like a Maury?
Can I just go off on a little tangent on cotton?
Please.
Cotton swabs?
Please.
Okay, so last night I just peeked at CNN for a second. And it was, I love it when Chris Cuomo, he has his brother out.
The Cuomo brother out.
It's hysterical. So yesterday we saw Governor Cuomo getting a COVID test with the swab that goes in your nose. And he didn't even move. I mean, the stick, you know, it's a good long stick and it goes in his nose. And he's just standing there doing nothing. And so his brother shows that. And then his brother says, well, this is what they usually use. But I think for you, brother... And he has a huge, like, cotton swab handmade thing that's, like, about 2 feet high and long. And he goes, did they use this? Or wait a minute. And he goes under his desk and he grabs, like, a toilet cleaner cotton swab. It would look like a toilet bowl cleaner. And they were laughing so hard. It was just kind of fun to see those two go back and forth with each other about giving his brother crap about his big nose.
Yeah. I wish we had the windmills of the mind because need to interrupt the dirt alert.
It was funny. And it's all over. It's funny. All right. Goodbye.
That was not worth interrupting the dirt for.
I'm sorry.
That was a real windmill.
That was a windmill. Yep. That was quite breezy.
It's and funny. It's... Thank you.
Over to the Cuomo brothers. All right.
We hadn't had a windmill in a while.
No, we
It was
hadn't.
Needed. All right, go.
I'm going to talk about John Legend. And when he realized that he was convinced that Chrissy Teigen was the one for him, it all happened back in 2010.
Oh.
And it was when Chrissy Teigen was modeling a bikini on the Ed Hardy runway.
I have John Legend fatigue.
I do too.
Okay.
And I almost have Chrissy Teigen
fatigue.
And I have Prince Harry and the other one fatigue.
Yes, you do. But I mean, John, I just have, why, John?
He's coming out with a new album.
Oh.
He's releasing it during COVID. He said that, right, Holly?
Yes, he's going to be releasing an album soon. Well, and remember, he's a part of The Voice.
I know.
So
I've got fatigue for him.
For him.
For him specifically.
I have every for many
single,
people.
But on every single concert that we've done.
He's always there.
He doesn't even change the room. There's his Grammys and this is piano room. And his little
he
kids
doesn't
are,
even put that huge grand piano in another room.
I don't know what's
change
going
the
on.
Background.
I don't know.
No, that's just so funny.
My mom was like in kind of a blue mood today, so I gave her a prescription.
Okay.
I said, hate watch Ellen from you tell me.
So now you've got three people.
Well, she said, maybe that would make me feel better because she has to turn on. She's not watching the news right now.
No, nor should she.
Too upsetting. Yep. And she's on 11 weeks of a lockdown. And I said, Mom, here's something that just could like make your blood boil in the, you know, just like kind of a fun direction. Hate watch Ellen. How bad and painful it is.
We need to hear the review tomorrow.
I will. I'm going to ask her. She's promised me she would.
We need to know if your prescription worked for her.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Just, you know, turn off CNN, MSNBC, to turn off all the news, turn off the briefings.
Yep.
Don't watch any of it.
Just watch Ellen sitting in her Montecito fortress.
Yeah, with her producer. Mob friend and her producer in the. Oh, it's just. It hurts me.
Just tell them your theory, Lauren.
Julia, there is a parallel universe and it's running backwards and science has proof. And just if you don't believe me, ask Twitter. Finally, people came around to that story, Jules. Okay, here is the theory. Do you think there's I kind of have had this theory about, you know, that people that there's a skinny gene.
Oh, for gosh
like
sakes.
Like a thin jean.
Yes.
And I'm not talking about pants. I'm talking about...
in people. Oh, of course.
Remember
and there's
we
a
talked about
gene.
The ectomorph and, you know, that there's like three kinds of body types.
Yes, of course there is.
Well,
it's hereditary.
Julia, science has been studying this, but guess this is what they
this
found
This feels like
out.
A duh to me.
No, it isn't because this is 50,000 people.
Okay.
Is part of this scientific study, okay? And... of the 50,000, it was actually 47,102 people aged 20 to 44. And what they found is they were just like kind of looking at is there a gene that makes people heavy is really what they were like looking for.
There is.
Okay. But what they found was that, and it was the University of British Columbia. Their hypothesis was that everybody knows somebody who can eat whatever they like without getting fat.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been that way always. Because everybody always studies obesity.
Yes.
Nobody ever studies
skinny.
That's right.
Okay.
Let's turn it around. Let's study
thinness. Let's give
thinness.
Some attention to the skinny people.
Yeah. Well, here's what they found out. 1% of the studied population of those 47,000 were naturally slim and healthy. They could eat what they wanted without having to exercise.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have this ALK gene that is linked to cancer. And they are interested to see if you can turn this gene off to fight obesity. So they just thought it was just kind of, you know, something that we should know.
Well, I wish they would sell that pill in a pill form and I would just inject it into my butt.
Yeah. The findings were published in the journal Cell, which was a little delayed to me.
C-E-L-L.
That's correct, uh-huh. Julia. And anyway, so they did find that. They were able to, you know, confirm the theory. There is, but it's not as many people as you think.
Well, there's
only 1%.
No, it's very small.
You're really lucky.
And if you are born to someone who struggles with obesity, your likelihood, of course, of being obese is so much greater.
Yeah.
Because you know, it's on their diet and their metabolism and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, no, my mom really thought I was going to be a fat kid because my grandma Fudge, my dad's mom, was not a large woman, but a busty woman. But in her later years, she got quite round and big. And when I was born, I was so big.
How big were you?
Like almost 9 pounds.
Jeez.
And my mom was like, I ate popcorn and chicken noodle soup. And I'm like, yeah, but you're healthy.
And you were 17.
Anyway, she's like, we were so worried you were going to be a fat kid. I'm like, Mom.
I love fat babies. They're so cute.
Anyway, but there's a skinny gene and only the lucky 1%.
Okay. Do you think you have it?
No, I don't, but I have a sister who has it.
Yeah, you do have a sister who has it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She can eat amazing amounts of food.
Yeah, I don't know that my sister has it.
I've never known her to exercise.
No, you're right.
Oh, jeez. All right, here's one.
Everyone knows that person, though.
Yeah, everyone does. Uh-huh. So don't, they can't help it. They're just the lucky 1%.
Exactly.
Right?
Right.
Okay, what would you guys think? Would you have a theory? If you were just to, like, you know, be at something and you're just going to make up something and pull it out of your arse and make up a fact, what would your fact be if you had to just say the average adult will spend X number of years looking at a screen?
Oh, what would just be the number?
Yeah, what would be the number you plug
in? Like TV or phone or something like that?
Yeah. Like they live like right now until mid-70s.
I'd say 4.
4 years. Holly.
Oh, gosh.
That's a little redact.
Okay, so what's the age of the person now?
The average adult.
Let's just say the average adult, mm-hmm. age 40.
Mm-hmm.
40, you live to maybe about 80 years old. So
let's say 81.
81, mm-hmm. All right. That's 41 years. I would imagine that you're spending about 6 to 8 hours a day in front of a screen of any kind. So I would say about 15 to 20 years.
Okay. And I just did 4.
Yeah, Julia, yours was pathetic. Yeah. And so don't go bragging and making up facts. You're going to have to you're going to have to put on your man pants to be better at bragging about facts.
I don't brag about facts. What is the answer?
The answer is, so this was an actual, they did this. They had somebody, you know, do all the number crunching.
Right.
And from ages 18 to 81, researchers pinned it down that a person will be glued to their screen for over 13 hours a day if you count all the screens.
Oh, for crying out loud. Isn't that something?
So that adds up to 4,800 basically hours each year. And if you live to be 62, that's 300 and almost 2,000 years, which adds up to a whopping 34 years of your life by the time you got to be 62 will have been spent on screen.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow was right.
Jeez.
And I feel like even now with what's going on, it'd be even higher.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't like that number.
Well,
I don't.
Here's what it is. 4 hours a day on the laptop, 3.5 hours on the television screen, and then about 2.5 hours to 3 hours on your phone. Those are your 3 screens.
Jeez.
Even mm-hmm. here, literally 8 hours. My whole workday is in front of screens.
Yeah, screens.
And now mediating through screens on your phone, on the computer.
So is ours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
So watching, plugging.
So there you go. Here's what.
I don't like that at all. That was not a happy fact.
Okay, but it's just, it's happening.
The reality.
Here's a theory on something. If you're worried about this, you can do the 20-20-20 rule.
Okay.
Where you take a break every 20 minutes, you look away for 20 seconds, and you turn your attention away to something at least 20 feet away just to break it.
It's called ADD. I do it all the time.
Okay. <Yeah.
laughs> I do it all the time. That one just comes natural to me.
Yeah. All right. Here's one. Oh,
all right.
Okay. This is just really something else. Would you believe that you've probably already had an encounter with a psychopath or two in your life?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. This is a real.
Is this normal?
This theory, this was published, Julia, in Personal Favorite, Personality Disorders Theory Research and Treatment.
Unbelievable.
I live for
unbelievable
like, these kind
how
of
you
stories.
Can read this much in your free time.
So, but because when we hear psychopath, what do we think?
Scary.
Like Freddy Krueger.
Norman Bates. What's his name from Silence of the Lambs?
Oh, Hannibal Lecter.
Hannibal Lecter, exactly, classic psychopath. But here's the thing. This is a study from Virginia Commonwealth University. And in a nutshell, successful psychopaths develop more pronounced conscientious traits that allow them to better control their impulses and social tendencies. Because they're so prone to engaging in antisocial behaviors, is that the psychopaths who can inhibit those impulses are very successful in life. And we run into them all the time, apparently. They're more successful of their peers if they can get a handle on their, how did we word that? Antisocial behaviors.
Yes.
So anyway, they wanted to just take a look at that. And they said the younger you are that you can control impulses and aggression, the younger a psychopath is caught,
the better.
The more successful they can be in a completely else because they've learned how to, they have supreme self-control. That's the bottom line.
So, but wait a minute.
You were texting. I am not going to catch you up on this story because you're having dating.
It isn't dating. It's for our damn show.
Dating situation.
It is not that.
The bottom line is, Julia, the psychopaths that we've met in our lives who are successful have supreme self-control. And
they learned it early.
No, they have self-control. They're like, no, I'm not going to, you know, do whatever bad thing.
Oh,
that is the key part of the theory
all right.
that you missed.
All right.
While you were doing show business work.
It's show business and no business.
Yeah.
We do know a psychopath.
Mm-hmm. All Many right. forms of, and I know, I knew a successful psychopath. I probably maybe know a couple. We probably all do.
That's what they're saying.
Yeah, we all do. Oh my God, they might.
Yours
even
stand out a little bit more than mine. I'm just thinking of sure I've met them. I don't know who.
Oh, Julia, think.
It's someone we've both
worked.
Know?
We've worked with people who are psychopaths.
Yeah, we have.
I mean, we would just say we'd be like, "What is that?" If they were someone else, if they weren't here, they'd probably be, you know, the Green River Killer.
And that goes back to Washington State, Lori's. That's what got you addicted.
That's what got
you addicted to those true-like
serial killers.
Come from the Green River,
Washington, and Florida,
Washington State,
and then like you know, Colorado, someplace where it's heavily wooded.
Yeah,
you know, but Washington and Florida. For sure. First of all, the alligators. You know, you got an instant way of dumping bodies. Swamps.
And in Washington State? The rain.
Forest.
It's always rainy.
Forest.
And foggy.
Forest. Endless forests. Endless places that people could be, you know, I'm just, you know.
Sasquatches and vampires.
There you
exactly.
go. Watch out.
Exactly.
There you go.
So there you go. Well, I don't know if that was a good, but they looked at 1,400 juvenile offenders for this study. To get to this summation.
So, well, thank you for that.
Yeah, I know. I thought it kind of grim, you know, investigative ID moment on our show. There's going to be like a Lollapalooza on the ID channel this weekend. Someone emailed
us. Oh, really?
Yeah. Like every
serial killer
or
something?
Well, no, but kind of every famous sort of infamous, I should say, murderer. Or serial type of situation or bad.
That.
Yeah, they want us to know.
Thank you.
Yeah. So that's, if it's a rainy weekend and you need to spend more time with your screen.
Well, the Lance Armstrong thing is going to be on ESPN on Sunday night where he's promising to tell the truth again.
Oh, my. Mm. Again. All right, we got to go. We'll be right back.
We're only human, people. How's everyone's day? Thursday.
I don't know. I don't know how to feel.
It's a weird day.
Yeah.
And the weather's weird. And tomorrow is D-Day for the state fair, so we are just having mixed feelings for everybody. Okay. Hi.
Hi,
we today we just I want to give a shout out. Today we had two great guests at 3:30 and at 4:30, and a great book, The
Women with Silver Wings.
Yes, and she was delightful.
Yeah,
that's
over
really...
20 years to do that book. That was a real passion. We had two people with passion projects. And then, letting us know about, you know, the women who served in the Air Force in World War II, WASPs, and geez, how long it took them to be recognized to be as veterans.
Yeah.
They weren't, you know, it wasn't until like I don't know, I forget if it was in the 90s.
I don't know, Lauren.
It was
don't
50
ask me.
Years after right. the fact when a right. lot of them had died. I mean, you know
and
what I mean?
Six of them were from Minnesota.
Yeah. Just a cool right. story. Women we should know.
Yes. And yeah. the other one was we interviewed the director, writer, producer of the movie Bridge, which is a documentary airing on mspfilm.org. It's part of the 39th annual Twin Cities Film Festival. And what was really cool, it's so good.
Yeah.
But for my talk listeners, instead of paying $10 to see it, you're only going to be able to see it until Saturday night at midnight. It's just $5.
Yeah.
Lori tweeted out the code at Lori Julia. Mm-hmm. And we also have it listed on our show page under our links.
Yeah. And this is typical for documentaries, right, Holly? When a film festival, it's not like once they've played here, like they just become available for people.
No, this is like a really special thing. The fact that you can go and you can watch this now.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it'll go. They probably are doing another virtual film festival, you know, someplace else.
Right.
They're hoping a studio would want to pick it up for distribution or maybe. And maybe, you know, for independent filmmakers, we could have asked Patrick this. I wonder if all the streaming things is going to make it be in a way easier to see documentary film projects and independent smaller movies, if it broadens the market at all.
Yeah, well, think about, you know, this movie Bridge could be very well picked up by Netflix.
Yes.
Or it could be picked up by Amazon, and then you have the whole world.
Right, instead of one theater, you know, that's going to let you run for like 2 weeks or something. I mean,
there's over 50 films that are part of the Twin Cities Film Festival, too.
That might be what they found out about this, that it was successful. It's like, wow, okay, people will, you know, they'll pay and see the movies this way
right.
at home. And so maybe more eyes, I would hope, is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
With the smaller independent movies.
Yeah.
Really? I mean, look at Capone. I mean, that's a bad movie, but it's got Tom Hardy in it, and people paid $20.
Yeah.
And it's made almost $3 million.
It's a bad movie, and look at how well they've done.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because, I don't know. Anyway, Mel Gibson made a movie where he's the hero during Puerto Rico's Category 5 hurricane. It's called Force of Nature. Emil Hirsch, Kate Bosworth, and Mel Gibson. Oh, my word.
I kind of have...
It looks like a white hot mess because it's about a crime and a heist during a hurricane.
Oh, boy.
I like him. I like his movies. Braveheart, Julia, Lethal Weapon, Hacksaw Ridge. I do.
This is going to be a terrible.
Well, we'll see.
Was this movie made?
Well, why?
Just the fact that Kate Bosworth is in it looking like kind of. No. A heist in a hurricane and all the cops are white. This is Puerto Rico, man. Get real, Mel.
He does a lot of straight to video.
Yeah, he does.
Well, let me
he?
Just tell you something exciting for us, but you have dropped out of it because Casey dropped out of it. Stumptown is a show that we really like.
NBC.
ABC.
Kobe Smulders.
Yes.
No, it's an NBC show, isn't it?
No, it's an ABC.
Oh, damn.
Mm-hmm. That would be the headline. ABC.
NBC, but Kobe Smulders and the hot guy that's in it with the big nose.
Yeah, that's a good show.
And they play great music. I mean, seriously, like The Clash. And it really is, who's ever show running and writing that show it's good.
Yeah.
You know, people are going to have to come. There's so much time, Julia, that people are spending watching streaming. It's a constant. That's a constant topic with people.
There's so much time,
and
people.
We didn't talk about this today, but this is casting news. Picture it. Peter Dinklage, Jason Momoa.
Oh.
It's a unique zombie adventure movie called Good, Bad, and Undead.
Love it.
Lori's in.
I'm in.
I thought that isn't called Twins.
Oh.
That was the Arnold Schwarzenegger, Danny DeVito one.
It's an original idea. Mm-hmm. It's an original idea, this movie. So anyway, just those two.
Yes.
The visual. And
it'd be fun.
Zombies. Yeah. Love it.
All right, gang. Thanks for hanging out with us. Have a great night.
Job done. Off you go.
This holiday, whether you're making a Baker's Simple Truth turkey for 40 or a Murray's Baked Brie for two, Baker's has fast, fresh delivery and free pickup, so you can make holiday meals that bring you all together to create memories that last. Baker's, fresh for everyone. Free pickup on orders of $35 or more. Restrictions may apply.
Get more ways to save at the Buy 5 or More Save $1 Each sale. Just buy 5 or more participating items and save a dollar each with card. Baker's, fresh for everyone.
O'Reilly. Change your vehicle's oil before your summer road trip and save money now with Pennzoil and O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right now, get 5 quarts of Pennzoil Platinum Full Synthetic for just $22.95 after mail-in rebate. Save money and protect your engine against sludge and wear with a synthetic oil change. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today or O'ReillyAuto.com.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.